Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to sit down and talk with listener Craig about his awesome Disney adventure. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, The Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. This is what I call my insurance policy against the crowds every time I head down to Walt Disney World. Subscribe one full year for just $14.95, the best money you'll spend on your upcoming vacation. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1213 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. We thank you so much for checking in with us here on the show and starting another week with the Be Our Guest Podcast. We truly appreciate that. I know a lot of folks going back to school this time of year, even on the East Coast, you're starting to get that itch. Good luck to everybody heading back to the classroom, students and teachers alike. Let's make it a great year out there. A lot of learning, a lot of teaching, and hopefully even a lot of fun in the educational field. So joining me today to kick off another week, nothing better than talking some Disney. We're heading out to the West Coast with a Disneyland trip report, but we're heading down to Atlanta today with listener Craig. Craig, how's it going today, buddy?
Going good, Mike. How are you?
Good. Glad to have you on the show. And it's going to be fun to talk about Disneyland. I love mixing it up. We talk Cruise Line. We talk World a lot. But heading out to where it all started today.
All right.
All right. So let's get rolling with it. Tell us when you were out there and your travel party, that kind of stuff.
So this trip happened last September. We went out there. Our kids were fortunate enough to have a fall break right there about the third week of September every year. So we take advantage of that, and most of the time we go down to Disney World because we can be down there in about 6 hours. But so I had actually, to kind of preface this trip, I'd gone out to a conference in Anaheim back in 2015, and at the end I stayed a day over, and I did a one-day park hopper, and I jumped from Disneyland and California Adventure and did that all in one day. And my hotel, I was staying at a Good Neighbor Hotel about 1.4 miles down the street, and we actually stayed there at the same place this time, Holiday Inn Express. So we walked to the park. That's one of the big differences, you know. But Disneyland is kind of really, really tight. You can just about stay anywhere you want and walk to the park in just a matter of a few minutes. So we were there, you know, in about 20 minutes, half an hour or so, we were there. And my one-day park hopper, I couldn't walk back. I'd worn myself out to the point to where I had to take Uber back. So $4 ride back was definitely worth it.
That's a good day when you're that tired. I like it. Now, let me ask you this off the top. Tell us about that hotel, because I think the question I get asked the most for people that are headed to Disneyland for the first time or, you know, just looking to have a different experience, sometimes to save some money, sometimes just because you get perks staying at the Good Neighbor hotels that you don't get at the Disneyland hotels. Now you get the theming at the Disneyland hotels, but you know, sometimes you'll get like a complimentary breakfast in the morning at one of those hotels, something like that. So give us what it feels like to stay, especially being a Walt Disney World veteran. What's it like staying at a good neighbor hotel?
So for us, I mean, I usually stay at the Holiday Inn Change most of the time because I've got the points account there, and that's where our company kind of pushes us to stay there. But so I was just looking at something cheap to stay at. So, you know, most of the time you look at Disney World in comparison, you're looking at the value resorts, and even the value resorts these days are over $100. So I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express, of course, the Holiday Inn. If it were the Express, then breakfast would have been included. But for this one, it wasn't. They had a restaurant built in, and they had a bagel breakfast bar that you could, you know, for $2 or $3, you could pick up a coffee and a bagel in the morning. So it was pretty convenient. But I mean, it was at like $80 a night. Nice pool outside and everything. So you just can't beat that. Over on the West Coast, you know, the regular Disneyland hotels, I mean, they're like deluxe resorts. So it's kind of tough to swallow that on a just a couple of days.
Yeah, I could see that because, you know, you could save that money by staying good neighbor and, you know, put that towards experiences. And plus, a lot of us, you know, I don't know if this is your situation, but a lot of folks that go to Walt Disney World, like myself, we tend to have maybe an annual pass to Walt Disney World, where if we don't have the Premier Pass, you know, we have to build in ticket costs going out there, which we don't have to necessarily on some trips down to Walt Disney World. So, you know, when I head out there for the first time, as much as I keep telling myself I want to stay at the Disneyland Hotel or, you know, one of the other two, but a Disneyland Hotel is really where I want to land. Realistically, with the budget, knowing I have to buy tickets, I'll have to buy airfare. It sounds like this is a good kind of compromise. You know, you got a place to sleep, a place to shower, you got a pool, you got a place to eat. And what I like you said, you're not that far away. You can walk. And when you can walk, you're on your own schedule, which I really like.
Yeah. The other thing to that, too, is for $5, you can buy a shuttle ticket and you can ride the shuttle back and forth to the parks all day long. So it's like $5 a day for the shuttle.
That ART system.
Be there in like five.
Yeah. That
ART. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think it's ART. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's talk about your time in the parks. You know, got to go to Disneyland California Adventure. What were some of your highlights looking back on that trip?
So before we went to the parks, we landed in LAX. We rented a car, drove out to Anaheim. We've got some friends that actually moved to Georgia a few years ago. So we went up to Glendale, California to see them. We had some Mexican. You'll appreciate that. They're big on Mexican food. We are too. So they found their most favorite Mexican food, so a restaurant. So we met them there. Even before that, we tried to get up to the Griffith Observatory, which is a really popular place. If you've ever seen the movie McFarlane, really, really good movie. Their state meet, they run right up to the observatory and back. So it's a pretty cool place. Unfortunately, it was packed out that day, so we drove right by it, looked up the hill at it, and just kept on going. So went to the Hollywood sign. You know, we did all the touristy things out there the first and second day. So second day, this was pretty cool. And we're still not even in Disneyland yet, but we're still Disney kind of associated. We went out to the Hollywood Walk of Fame. We found Walt Disney's star. We found Mickey Mouse's star. Even found kind of a rogue Minnie Mouse, we called her. It was I think it was a lady dressed up as Minnie Mouse, and she was kind of staggering around behind me. So I kind of took a selfie with a rogue Minnie Mouse behind me. That was pretty funny. Got to go over to the Chinese Theater. And for some reason, for me, it never really clicked that the great movie ride was the Chinese Theater all this time. I looked up, and I'm like, I'm right in front of the great movie ride. But that's kind of stupid me. But anyway, then we drove out to Rodeo Drive, kind of drove through it really, really quick. Got nowhere near enough money that it's going to take to even walk the sidewalks in that place. Saw a couple Ferraris and a Lamborghini driving through out there. So that was like the highlight of my trip out to Rodeo Drive. And then, let's see, so we went up to Santa Monica Pier. We went to the end of Route 66. That was pretty cool. So Santa Monica Pier, that whole area is the original Muscle Beach. So they have all the hoops out there. My 16-year-old daughter's a gymnast. And so she was all over swinging back and forth on the hoops. And then they've got the slack lines going out there, too. So I don't know if you've ever seen the slack lines. It's like a wide strap that they stretch across, and they can do all kinds of tricks and flips and stuff like that on it. That was pretty neat.
I've never seen that. But I'll tell you what, my dad was actually, because, you know, he works for the Rams now. He's a trader. He went out to the with the L.A. Rams. He left he's still in St. Louis. He just commutes. It's crazy. But he was out there this past weekend sending me pictures in that exact spot at the end of Route 66. I saw the sign. So I guess he was at that beach. And I don't know. It just seems like, you know, my 65-year-old dad, he must have been standing out there. I'm just saying. I just can't picture it.
I don't know. You've got all walks of life out there. So he probably just blended right in. So, you know.
I don't know. A guy from the Midwest, I don't know. That'd be a tough sell to me. But it sounds like, you know what? You're doing exactly what Mallory, my youngest daughter, says when we go to Disneyland, Dad, and she asks me, like, at least weekly, probably more than that. And I want to go. It's just a matter of finances right now. But she wants to do that exact same thing. She wants to see Hollywood. She wants to see the Hollywood sign. She wants to, you know, experience Southern California, which I do too, because I've been to California once, but we just went to Yosemite and that was it. You know, then we drove to Vegas and drove home. So you're doing exactly what I think most tourists want to do. Now, did you feel yourself kind of itching to get to Disneyland, or was this something that it was an experience in itself, seeing the Griffith Observatory, driving past it at least? McFarland, USA is one of my favorite movies too, by the way. So, I mean, how did that feel? Just, you know, you're there, but you're not there yet.
I wasn't really that antsy because my wife was actually born in California. Yeah. She, you know, moved away at a very, very young age, like baby, infant. But there was other things down there that I wanted to see: Camp Pendleton, Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego. You know, the sights, the stuff that you see on TV, the cliff beaches, and just, you know, the hustle and bustle of the West Coast. So for me, you know, as much as I love Disney and wanted to get to Disneyland, I wasn't in a hurry per se to get out there because I just knew about so much other stuff. And this was what I kind of hopped around when I was out there by myself for the conference or with my coworkers. So I kind of had stubbed out what I wanted to come back to do with the family. And then again, you asked, you know, how we went out there. So we went out there with my wife and my two daughters. I've got Alyssa 16, Zoe's 13. And, you know, even them, they weren't just tearing it to bits to get to Disney because we had all of this other stuff to see. My older daughter, being so much into fitness, she was more into getting out, you know, like what we did out to the original Muscle Beach and Laguna Beach. We went there, you know, a few days later. But, yeah, there's just so much to keep you busy that it's... but it's more than just Disneyland. And as much as I, you know, hate to say that, there is, I mean, Disney's just a part of it.
Yeah, that's one of those things. We're going to have to rent a car so we can do that, because I think it would be a shame to miss the peripheral stuff in Southern California. And of course, you can't see it all. I mean, there's so many other things, you know, I'd want to see. I'd even want to go down to San Diego, you know, stuff like that. But that'd be for another trip, which I haven't even made the first one yet. But sounds like, now tell me about the planning of this trip. Did the girls also sit down with you and have input in this, or is this something, you know, you had a pretty good idea what everybody would enjoy, you threw it together, and here we go?
No, they typically don't care too much about the planning. I'll bounce some things off of them, you know, like restaurants, where would you like to eat on certain days and things like that. But for the most part, you know, they really, for Southern California, they really didn't know what to ask. And, yeah, you know, for Disneyland, the biggest thing was we want to see some stuff that we can't see at Disney World. So we can get into that in just a minute. That's actually on my list of things to talk about here. So,
all right, continue on.
All right. So on our third day there, so we landed, we came in, we went to Hollywood, then we came back, got a good night's rest, and hit Disneyland wide open the next day. Stayed the full day there. The very first thing that we did when we got there, my wife loves beignets, so she's a big Port Orleans French Quarter person, loves those beignets. So we found some beignets at the and I heard Pam Forster mention this, the mint julep bar. Mm-hmm. So we found some butterscotch Mickey shaped beignets and some mint juleps, and that was our breakfast for the first day when we got there, over in, and it's actually called the French Quarter. So we went over there, and you know, we hit some rides on the way. Early, being there early, you know, you can get in most of the rides without any kind of wait time and stuff like that. So one of the biggest things that I wanted to show them being there at this time of the year was the Haunted Mansion ride. So you probably heard the Haunted Mansion is kind of taken over by Halloween Town. Jack Skellington kind of takes over the Haunted Mansion, and it's rethemed for the season, and it's really, really cool. You got the dog, what's his name, Zero, is in there. Oogie Boogie's in there, and Sally's in there at the very, very end. So it's just a really, really cool retheming. I kind of wish that they would do that at the World. That'd be nice. We hit the Indiana Jones ride, which is not what you would think. You know, having the Indiana Jones stunt show is one thing, but this is much like the dinosaur ride. Actually, you get in one of those big cars, and they bring you through an indoor track, and you're actually going through like one of the pyramids trying to escape. You triggered some sort of a evil force or something, and he's after you the whole time you're going in there. So the car is, you know, running you around trying to get you out of there. So that's pretty neat. Some of the rides that I really wanted them to go into was Nemo was one of them, the submarine ride. And did we used to have a submarine ride at Disney World at one point? Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah, we did. Actually, that's one that I actually rode the half day that I was at the Magic Kingdom way back when I was in fifth grade. The only time I went before college. We used to have 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea back there, kind of by across from Pooh in that area in Fantasyland. And I guess it's where Mine Train sits now or somewhere close to that. And what I remember about it as a fifth grader, now again, you know, your memories are fuzzy when it's that long ago. It felt a little claustrophobic to me. It felt kind of tight. And I've heard that of the subs at Disneyland. Is that true to you guys?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
Cool.
So another one of the rides that they have out there that they don't have in the World is the Matterhorn ride. And I'd ridden that before. When I was out there in 2015, they actually had some people on rappel lines. Mm-hmm. And they were rappelling from the Matterhorn down the side of it. And so I asked if they were doing maintenance on it or something. They go, no, these guys, they just go out there, you know, and do that from time to time. So I just thought that was kind of strange. Autopia, you know, very, very similar to Fantasyland Speedway, but it's more nostalgic. You know, you're not on a paved track the entire time. You actually go off onto a dirt road for a little while. So that was pretty neat. Another one of the things that was really cool is you can walk through Cinderella's castle, but in Sleeping Beauty Castle, you actually take a tour of the inside of Sleeping Beauty's castle. It's really, really tight going through there for folks like you and I, you know, that are over 6 feet tall. It's a tight fit, but it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like, it's not necessarily a dark ride per se. It's like a dark walkthrough.
Interesting. It definitely goes back in history, though. That kind of feel of, you know, is a lot of Disney fans know the Haunted Mansion. And I believe maybe even Pirates at one point was going to be a walkthrough attraction, a dark ride, dark walkthrough attraction. So Sleeping Beauty Castle may be something that, you know, some of these other attractions could have been, if they didn't plus them with the Omni Movers.
Yeah. So also in that area are some more of the really old dark rides. You got Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, another one that I think that used to be in the Magic Kingdom at one point, long time ago. You got Snow White's Scary Adventure. And here's one thing that was really neat, was Toontown is still out there. And I think that they're actually, are they shutting that down? Maybe they've already shut it down out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, Disneyland, I think that it is being taken away. I'm almost positive it actually already is, I think.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we went to Toontown. We started going to Disney in 2009, Disney World, with the whole family. Before that, I'd only been one time when I was like 14 years old, and and quite honestly thought it was one of the most boring places in my life. And I never thought that I'd ever go back, but now I'm kind of hooked on it. But that was one of the things that I remember, you know, from when we started going, was Toontown. And it's sounds like it's still out there, but I don't think it's going to be out there for much longer.
Yeah, it's still there because William is he's definitely one of our Disneyland authorities. He goes quite often, and he says that it is not been slated for removal. So it looks like it's going to be there for a while. I just remember going away at World to make room for, I guess that is where New Fantasyland is now. So
yeah, Fantasyland expansion, that's pretty neat. Another one of the differences is the Astro Orbiter. I know you like the Astro Orbiter. That's that's actually one of my favorite rides at Magic Kingdom. I think what I like about it the most is you're up really, really high and you have a view of the entire property. Astro Orbiter in Disneyland is not like that at all. It actually sits on the ground. I never actually rode it, but it sits on the ground over on in the Fantasyland side of it over near Space Mountain, which is Ghost Galaxy. They rethemed Space Mountain during different times of the year, but I just thought that was kind of odd about the Astro Orbiter being down low like that.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's one of those old carnival attractions. I mean, you know, when you think about Disneyland's history and, you know, going back to the 1950s, that thing looks like it's straight out of the 1950s when you see it. You know, from all the videos I've seen, I'm like, wow, that's a call to the past.
Yeah, and you really can't see the Astro Orbiter in Magic Kingdom until you get up there. And, you know, you kind of walk over to it pretty quick and you get into one of the cars. But, you know, walking by it on the ground is something different to see. You definitely get a better look at it, that's for sure.
Nice. Okay, so we only have about 10 minutes left. And I want to talk about, did you guys go over to California Adventure?
We did. We actually took a day during Disneyland and California Adventure, and we went and toured the entire San Diego area, so that was pretty neat. And then when we came back, we went to California Adventure. And I'll go ahead and tell you now that I found my new favorite park when I went to that place. I mean, out of all the Disney parks in the U.S., that is my absolute favorite. Wow. And I mean, I could probably talk for hours and hours about it, but so the first thing that we did, and I did this actually when I went over in 2015, was I made a beeline to Cars Land. I got in the single rider line, and it was over 100 minutes wait time on the regular line. So I waited maybe 10 to 15 minutes, and I rode, and I just kept going over and over. I must have rode it four times. I was, you know, that was about the time that the Apple phones made it to where you could do FaceTime over your cellular network. So I'm FaceTiming my wife and kids while I'm going, you know, around the track in Cars. And so I don't think that they appreciated that as much as I did, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, Cars Land in itself is just completely amazing. You could probably spend half the day just in there. It's just so detailed. Another one of the areas that I really liked that I didn't get to spend enough time in the first time that I went was Paradise Pier. It is, and I found my new favorite roller coaster back there in Paradise Pier that I didn't ride the first time, which is California Screamin'. So, you know, I'm a huge rock and roller coaster fan, and it's really hard for me to say that I like something better than that. But California Screamin', being outside, you know, it plays music just like the rock and roller coaster. Maybe it's not quite as fast, but it's just an incredible ride. Hardly any wait time for it either. That's the other thing.
Wow. And so about California Screamin', because my daughter, she just rode, she's now into that. This past trip, she's finally like, I like rock and roller coaster. She rode it once before, but it scared her to death. This time she rode it towards the end of the trip. She's like, I love it now. I want to go to Disneyland. I want to ride California Screamin' at California Adventure. So it, to me, again, I haven't been out there. It doesn't seem very themed, but it seems like high thrill. Is that kind of how you would describe it too?
Yeah, and it's pretty nice because the outdoors piece of it adds a whole other level, and especially, you know, since the climate is relatively mild in September in Southern California, it's low 80s and hardly any humidity. So, you know, so having that outside air blasting in your face the whole time you ride, and it is just incredible.
Awesome. I can't wait. Yeah, that weather out there has got to beat Florida, boy, because we go in the summer and it just beats you down. I'd like some low humidity.
Oh, yeah. It's like 100% humidity versus 0% humidity.
I'll take it.
Temperature to say. Yeah, it's a little bit different. So out there in 2016, I got to ride the new Soarin for the very first time over in California. So that was pretty neat. One of the biggest things that we don't have anymore is any kind of animation studio. So over at California Adventure has, it's like a theater that they put you inside. It probably holds, you know, upwards of 60 to 70 people, and you sit in like a theater. It's terrace style where everybody's got a nice comfortable seat, and you have a person down front on the stage, and you can draw. And then every half an hour, they've actually got the listing of what they're going to do next, whatever character they're going to draw outside. But we went to that a couple of times. World of Color is a show that you just absolutely can't miss. And I saw that one on the 60th anniversary, and it was just incredible. I mean, it was a real tearjerker because it had a lot of pictures of kids that have been coming to Disney, you know, for years, and you know, old excerpts of Walt Disney talking and stuff like that. It's not the same show, you know, as it was for the 60th, but it's still just it's one of my favorite shows now.
Yeah, anything with Walt. There's that segment in Celebrate the Magic, you know, that they used to have at the Magic Kingdom when they project Walt up onto the castle. And he's, you know, it looks like he's addressing the crowd at the Magic Kingdom that day because, you know, it's like he's on stage and we're all below. It just tugs at my heart, like you say, because, you know, he was, I look up to him. He was a dreamer and he was a doer. And, you know, anytime you have that connection, that's really why I want to get out there, though, because you're obviously a hardcore Disney fan. Do you, you know, people say you feel Walt around Disneyland, especially, but, you know, both parks. Do you feel that presence more than in Walt Disney World because Walt was there? Walt had a hand in the building of Disneyland itself?
In Disneyland, absolutely. You walk in, you look up at the light in the window over the fire station, and you're thinking, you know, Walt Disney was actually here. You know, walking on these streets, and it just, you know, it's a different feel to it. Plus the locals, there's so many locals in that park out there, and they're really particular about their own park, really loyal to it. So, you know, you can just feel that vibe. It's a different vibe out there.
Nice. So we've got to wrap up here in just a second, but let me ask you just a couple things to help folks that are heading out to Disneyland that you would know and that you could help them with. So first of all, what were some of the highlights? You mentioned getting the beignets, but as far as dining or just getting meals, I've heard that they have really good counter service out there, and a lot of people tend to do that because of the locals, you know, not necessarily always wanting to, you know, stay there 24/7 like we do at Walt Disney World. How did dining work for you guys? What worked best?
Well, quite honestly, there's just as much good dining outside the parks and very close by that you could walk to as there is inside. We actually had a hard time finding something inside the park that we felt like was affordable enough. There's the dining over in Carthay Circle that we wanted to try, but we did, you know, we one of us weren't hungry, one of us wasn't hungry enough, and the other one didn't want that kind of food. So we wound up at a place. Here's what we did when we were leaving. We followed some cast members. Actually, they wore their cast member uniform outside the park, and they walked into this pizza place across the street. And it's called the Pizza Press. So if you want to get something that's very, very similar now in Disney Springs, it's Blaze Pizza. So that was the first time that I'd ever come across 182nd fired pizza that you custom build walking down the line. And that was just so dark. That place was filled up halfway with cast members. So that is one of my favorite pizza places now on. So Pizza Press.
I love that because I would have had no idea, but that's smart. Follow the cast members. They're going to know where to eat because, they're the locals. And like William says in the chat, that's the haunt for the locals. And you know what? The locals, they've been there and done that. They know what's good. They're not going back to the bad places. So good call there. I'm going to have to check that out because I love Blaze.
Yeah, so there were some pretty good places to eat. There was a Chinese place over by Paradise Pier. That we got some Chinese food over there. My daughter and I got our food mixed up, and I think I had ordered the spicy Korean style, and she wound up with it, so it just about set her mouth on fire. And I'm like, this stuff's not hot at all that I was eating. So we switched there at the end. So So that was pretty good. We really didn't eat a whole lot. Again, inside, we went to, they've got a Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. We really, really love that place. So we hit that place too. They got a McCormick and Schmick's. It's kind of a chain. We got one of these in Atlanta too. But, you know, again, not too much eating inside the park. You can get away with it either way. You can inside or outside. One way is just as probably good as the other.
What it seems like to me, you know, looking at this from what you've shared with us today, is that at Disneyland, the one thing that you have that maybe is more prevalent than at Walt Disney World is options. You know, you have the Good Neighbor hotels, which vary a lot more widely than even the value moderate deluxe structure down at Walt Disney World. You know, you can go to very inexpensive, getting away from the parks a little bit, to, you know, you could stay at the Grand Californian and go all the way, like you're staying at the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian at Walt Disney World. And like you said, with the dining, you know, you could, especially for somebody that's in my shoes, which God help me if we go out there, because I like, my rule for Walt Disney World is I only eat things that I can't have at home. That's my rule, just because I don't get to eat, you know, stuff that's outside the norm when I'm back here in St. Louis, because my family likes such a limited menu. So that's why I like cruising, because I get to eat all these fancy foods every night and nobody can say anything. But like you said, I mean, if you're comfortable with the chains, like we have a, you know, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, you know, that we have one of those, you know, so there's things that my family would be comfortable with. We could step outside the park and that's readily available to us, but also, you know, try new things in the park. I like that. So it sounds like you just have tons and tons of options.
Yeah, inside and out. There's another place that I like too, inside of California Adventure over by Soarin'. It's called Smoke Jumper's Grill. So it's like it looks like a hangar on the outside. They got some pretty good burgers and things like that over there. So it's a counter service too, so it's pretty quick.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we actually, after that, we spent a couple more days, you know, just seeing the sights, checking out some different beaches. We went over to the Channel Islands and took a boat over there and hiked in the Channel Islands at Santa Cruz all day long. So that was a lot of fun too. But the only other thing in California Adventure that really comes to my mind is we call it Mickey's Death Wheel now. And I'm sure some of the locals are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. So you can get into a cart that swings, or you can get into a cart that's stationary. So we're adventurous, you know, we've been adventurous for years. So we got into one that swung, and that thing's swinging back and forth, and it's literally the highest thing in California, I think. So that thing's swinging back and forth, we're looking out, and the people look like ants, and you look up, and you can't even see what's holding you up there. And, you know, my wife and my younger daughter are over on the other side, and I'm looking at them, and they're like cats on the screen. We actually saw a woman come down and get out of the cart that we were loading into, and her fingers were sticking through the screen so tight that it was just hilarious. We're like, what is she holding on for? And we found out when we got in there, man, that's a scary ride. And I don't like heights too much. You know, even used to rappel out of helicopters and stuff like that. And it's just not like that for me anymore. I'm good with not riding that anymore. So
that's so funny, because I've heard stories. Jocelyn, my good friend, she told me a crazy story where she got on that sucker and she did one of the spinning carts, Mickey's Fun Wheel there. And she said she regretted it. You know, I think she came off the thing as green as our running shirts, is what I was told, you know, kind of the same color. So, you know what? That seems so not Disney to me. I mean, it seems like, you know, we want thrill attractions as well as the mild things that still tell stories. But the way you're describing, I mean, I couldn't help but laugh because I could totally picture that. But that seems like Six Flags to me. That seems like old California Adventure.
Yeah, that place definitely is. So the other one of the things that I wanted to kind of make note of is, as far as planning goes, you really don't. I mean, you can get away with, if you know where you're going to stay and you kind of pick which, you know, park you're going to go to for which day, for the sake of if you're dining, you know, inside the parks or wherever. But as far as having a plan inside the park, you know, you really can take a much more laid back approach, and you can get away with that. While I was out there, I think they're changing that up now, but we were still on the old fast pass system, you know, to where you run across the park and you get your paper fast pass, and then you run and get another one. I think they're slowly cutting it over to the My Disney Experience Fast Pass Plus, now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, they are. Yeah, it's the last gasp of the legacy FastPass system, or as I like to call it, dad training for the most part. For me, at least, I know not all the dads had to run. Some of the moms had to run, and some of the kids had to run. But in our family, it was always, you go collect all those fast passes. And when they didn't enforce the return times, it was even better because then we'd take a break in the afternoon, come back at night, and we had a pocket full of fast passes. I mean, it was like we were Elvis. Yep. You know, you didn't have to wait in line for anything. It was the good old days.
It's like going to the World. The first thing you do when you get to Hollywood Studios, you make a beeline all the way to the back left corner and you get your Toy Story Mania pass. And then after that, you can kind of take it easy a little bit. And if you're in, you know, if you're in Epcot, you cut hard to the right and go get your Soaring Fast pass first thing, or your Test Track, you know, something like that. But you don't have to really worry about it too much. Because honestly, the lines are not as tight. Another thing too is you got more characters just wandering around. We saw Belle outside the park before you even get in, and then when we were leaving, we saw Geppetto, Pinocchio's father, Geppetto. He was just wandering around. He had a handler with him, so he wasn't really having a official pictures or anything like that done. But we got a picture made with him. That was pretty neat.
So as we wrap this up, let me ask you one final question. So you guys did the whole Southern California vacation with Disneyland kind of as the center, and also seeing kind of some of the other Disney side attractions that we'd want to see heading out there, especially for a first timer like myself. Is there anything you would change or anything you want to throw in here that, you know, if you were giving me some advice besides the stuff we talked about today, maybe something you go back and do differently, or something you got home and I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that or consider that. Is there anything like that?
Yeah, I'd probably try to find a few more of the locals' beaches while I was out there. I'd definitely add another day to California Adventure. I think one day in Disneyland is probably enough. It's a really, really small park. But California Adventure is a lot like the way that Disney World Magic Kingdom is laid out. It's kind of got different sections. It's actually kind of funny because I can see Hollywood Studios as it is in the World right now, morphing into kind of something like what California Adventure is, where it's a spoke and hub type thing. It's actually in California Adventure, there is one section called Hollywood Studios out there over to the left side, and that's over close to where the animation studio is at. So yeah, definitely another day, and maybe I could probably spend, quite honestly, 3 days in California Adventure, and you really wouldn't have to push yourself quite as hard. But you know, other than that, you know, a few more, try to dig up a few more local things to find, and probably be good with that.
All right, well, sounds great, Craig. Thank you so much for your time, kicking off a Monday with us here on the podcast. And appreciate it. Boy, I learn every time we talk about Disneyland. I want to get out there more and more. So thanks again for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. It is summer. It's hot. You need a good book and a glass of lemonade. And you can do that over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Pick up a personally signed copy of this inspirational book. We talked about Disneyland today. Learn how Walt Disney turned his dream. I like that. It's got the picture of the mug right there for Disneyland on our camera. It's awesome. How Walt Disney turned that dream of a three-dimensional movie, you know, experiencing the movies, into Disneyland. And you can take that book and take those lessons and apply them to your life. It's a new school year, too. Get inspired. If you're a teacher, if you're a student, get inspired. Do your very best every day. Check out The Wisdom of Walt, available on Amazon and at thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, stay out of line. See the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Just drop by touringplans.com. Pick up your premium subscription today. Don't forget, when you're doing that back-to-school shopping, please support the podcast. Cost you nothing extra. Just go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We get a little bit of a commission from Amazon, and we appreciate that so very much. It goes right back into the show. So anytime you do some online shopping, please go through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group. We got all kinds of great stuff going on every single day at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Let's get on with your week. Let's make it an awesome one. Good luck to everybody who's heading back to school this week. Make it an awesome year. Everybody heading back to work, make it an awesome day. So for Craig, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday, but it's time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.